In the book of Colossians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. Okay? New Testament, the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And so, on last month, I spent a fair amount of time working through our ministry vision up top, right? You guys with me on that? To bring in, remember we spent all that time, and we literally broke that down piece by piece so that when we say it, we can all have a better understanding and the same understanding by what we mean, right? We talked about bringing in and building up, talked about being believers. The other thing, if you're here and you need a copy of that book of how to lead someone to Christ, if you didn't, we only had limited supplies, but we got some new books in. If you need a copy of that book, raise your hand. Bring me that bag on my desk, because I did promise it, and we finally got someone to get to the bookstore and buy some more copies. So here it is. Just hand, don't bring them to me. Hand them to, if you need a copy, lift your hands up. And these are, this is our, this, when we teach on evangelism, this is the book we use. And I want, you need to have it. Because when we talked about that, believers, because every year we ought to all be doing what? We ought to be leading someone to Christ every year as the Holy Spirit gives us opportunity. And instead of you saying, hey, I can't remember what the pastor said, here's a book that shows you how to do it biblically. Here are the scriptures, the verses to use, how you can guide someone in accepting Christ as their personal savior. So get a copy of the book. Again, keep it. Did everyone get one, or are we short? That's okay. More are coming in. We bought the supply they had, and I think we have 9 more coming. We couldn't complete our order, but 9 more are coming. So next Sunday, we'll have some more, and you make sure you get that. Okay? So anyway, we spent time talking about that. And so what I want to do today to kind of finish working on this board, we're going to work on our ministry vision Bible verse. Okay? And so that's what we have set in front of us today. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to turn there. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Said our pericope this morning is going to be that second chapter. It's going to be verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. Again, you follow along, whatever translation you may be holding in your hands. Amen? For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And as for many as have not seen my face in the flesh. And my conflict is that their hearts may be encouraged, knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding and to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, and according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Amen? Now I'm just going to add to the witness, and it's right in Colossians. It's in the previous chapter, chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. This is how he concludes that previous chapter. He says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. And to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." Amen. My message to all of you today is a very simple message, but a poignant one. Stick with what you have been taught. That's the message today. That was Paul's message to the church then. And that is my message to the church today. Stick with what you have been taught. Amen? Now unto him who alone is able to present us faultless before the Father and his holy angels. To you, Lord Jesus, we now look. Because Christ, you alone have the words of eternal life. Where can we go? To whom can we turn? The very words of life, the very source of life, emanates from you. So with intentionality, purpose, great determination, we have pulled ourselves aside from the busyness of life itself. And we have assembled here on this day, in this place, to be in your presence. Because on all of our hearts and all of our minds is one question. And that is, is there any word from the Lord? For what I'm facing, for what I'm dealing with, for what I'm going through, is there any word from God? Holy Spirit, this word belongs to you. I pray that you would amplify it in the ears and in the hearts men, women, and children alike. Not only those gathered here in this sanctuary, but for those who will watch this over the internet and on YouTube, for those who will share it, cause the Word of God to find good ground, fertile soil, a hungry and waiting heart. Be Because you said, man shall not live by bread alone. So feed us the very words that proceed out of your mouth. This is our prayer. As a congregation, we say amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. You may be familiar with this phrase, what's trending now? It's a very common phrase that we hear all over social media. What's trending now? Trending generally means what's popular online at the moment when used in this context. What's trending now? It generally means what's popular online at the moment. A trending topic is often something that is hot news or conversation within the general public discourse. Something that everyone is talking about, everyone is sharing their views or opinion about it. It is most likely you will have heard this phrase trending through Twitter, as this is where it is predominantly used. So you ask, what is trending now? Well, as of yesterday morning when I began to write my manuscript, the sermon for today, what was trending was the death of Kobe Bryant, the impeachment trial of President Trump, the Super Bowl, number 54. What also was trending was a Missouri mom who looks just like Meghan Markle. This was trending. And she does. I looked at it. She favors her. She does. And the other one was the spread of the coronavirus. That's what's trending. Well, that at least yesterday anyway. That may or may not have changed in the course of 24 hours. And then they said on YouTube, who also does this what's trending now type of presentation, I was reading about YouTube. YouTube changes what's trending now every 13 minutes. A new, that's how fast news is changing. That's how fast the public conversation is changing. So every 13 minutes, they're updating their website with what is trending now, what folks are talking about now. The city of Colossae. It was a city in the Roman province of Asia, what you and I call Turkey today. And it was about 100 miles east of a city called Ephesus. And it was in the region of the 7 churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelations, chapter 1 through 3. The church at Colossae began during Paul's 3-year ministry in Ephesus. Its founder was not Paul. Many people confuse that. They think Paul founded the church, as he founded many churches, but not Colossae. The founder was not Paul, but a gentleman by the name of Epaphras. And you will find that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. He was the founder of that church. Epaphras was apparently saved during a visit to Ephesus while Paul was there, then likely started the church when he returned home. Several years after founding the church in Colossae, a dangerous heresy arose to threaten it. And the heresy, or what was being said, a heresy is a belief or an opinion contrary to Christian doctrine. And Paul wrote this letter from prison in Rome to the churches, not only in Colossae, but also in Laodicea, to warn them about this heresy that they were facing and to encourage them to stand strong in the Lord and in the doctrine and teaching of Christ that they had been taught. That's what, I'm giving you a summation of what the whole book of Colossians is about. He's writing this letter because now Epaphras has now gone to visit Paul, no longer in Ephesus, but now in Rome in prison. He goes to visit them, and he's not only going to check on the welfare of Paul himself, but he's also updating him or giving him a report on how the church is doing. Right? And based on what he has heard from Epaphras, now Paul now writes a letter to send back to the church to encourage them. You with me on that? Okay, good. Okay, let's get down to work. Chapter 2, he says, verse 1, he says, "For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and for those in Laodicea, and as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." The Colossians and the Laodiceans were among those whom Paul struggled so hard in order to bring them to spiritual maturity. So Paul, working in conjunction with Epaphras, who was the pastor, was teaching them all that they could to develop them as believers of Jesus Christ. And though they had never met, yet Paul had a great love for them. Paul fell in love with them through the conversations with Epaphras, when he would tell them about the church. You follow what I'm saying? And so now he's letting them know, I have a great conflict. I have a great concern for you. You with me on that? How many of you have a great concern for someone? Concern how they're doing, where they're doing, what's going on with them. Just say, you know what Paul's like. And this was his concern. He says, "That your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ." Touch your neighbor and say, that's a mouthful. Paul wanted them to be encouraged in the faith, right? That's what that means. That your hearts may be encouraged. He wanted them to be encouraged in the faith. Raise your hand if you ever needed encouragement in your Christian walk. Right? So now you know why he's writing the letter. Paul said, I don't have to be there. I know what it's like to live for Jesus. I'm currently in jail because of him. So I'm writing to encourage you. It's not easy. You have not picked an easy job to do. But be encouraged. Right? Then not only that, he said, I not only want you to be encouraged, he said, I want you to have unity fostered by love. So he said, I'm encouraging you, I want you to hold on, and whatever you have to do, maintain the unity in the church. You guys see that there? Being knit together in love, knit together, unified, stitched together, sewn to connected. But he said, I want you to be connected in love. How many of you know, how many raise your hand if you know this? That the greatest of these, right? Now you see why we got the homework assignment we have, right? If it's not done in, by, and motivated through love, it don't matter. But you got to be unified. There's a lot of groups that are unified. They may not be unified in love. Some are unified through fear. Some are unified through force. Some are unified through economic power. Do you follow me? But Paul said, not you. I want you guys to be united by the love of God. Right? This is what he's talking about. This is in your Bible. And he said, I want you to attain all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. He said, I want you to know the mystery of God. That's what he said. I want you to know the mystery of God. Let's work this mystery. So from a Webster's perspective, definitionally, a mystery is something that is difficult or impossible to either understand or explain. Right? Because if I could do any of those, it wouldn't be a mystery, right? If I could know it, understand it, explain it, it wouldn't be. But a mystery, according to Webster, something difficult or impossible to understand or explain. Now, to put it in a biblical context, so when Paul says, I want you to know the mystery of God, what Paul is referring to, and he uses this term throughout his writings in the New Testament, is that a mystery is a term used by Paul to indicate a truth hidden in the Old Testament age, but revealed to the New Testament church, of which we are a part. You with me on that? We're part of the New Testament. And so now he's saying there was something that those before Christ died couldn't understand. That now those of us who now after his death, because of the coming of the Holy Spirit, we can now see and know. You follow what I'm saying? That's all he's saying. He said, I want you to know what that is. That's what all this teaching is about. That's why I'm writing letters. That's why Epaphras is preaching every Sunday. That's why we're meeting in his house. We got to get you to understand what this mystery is. Amen. So what is the mystery? What is Paul talking about? Verse 3. And he said, of this mystery, he said, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the mystery is of God, both of the Father and of Christ. He said there's something about God and there's something about Jesus you must know. And that's what we're working today. There's something about God and Jesus Christ that I must get you guys to know. You follow what I'm saying? And look what he said. Because he said, knowing it, here it is, unlocks the answer to every human question. This is something worth knowing. This is what he's just saying it, because Paul's fancy, hitting all the treasure with him. He said, when you unlock this mystery, it will be the single answer to every question you will ever have. Right? Touch your neighbor and say, I want to know the mystery. So now I say this, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Now he said, but I want you to understand why I want you to know this. I do not want you to have this information so you can go and brag about what you know. That's not why. Paul said, I'm not teaching that. That's not why I'm teaching. That's not why I'm in jail with chains on trying to take my pen and write. That's not why I'm writing you. So that you can become puffed up and be an intellectual. I'm not writing so you can become what's trending now. So that's not why I'm writing. He tells you, he said, this is why I'm writing. Lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. You know who the easiest people to trick are? No. The easiest people to trick are the people who don't know anything. You know that? Raise your hand, you know this is Black History Month. Right? If you don't know, you should know. Right? But that when the American slavery epidemic came here in America, one of the techniques they used to help enforce slavery was to keep the Negro ignorant. We were denied the right to learn how to read and write. Why? Because if you don't know anything, my word to you becomes law. What else are you going to believe? You don't have anything else. Why? Because you can't read. Now, if you understand that, also, I got the young kids, you got to understand. Most important thing you can do in school is learn how to do what? Read and write. Got to learn how to read and write. Because if you don't have that basic ability, you are subject to anybody who comes with persuasive words. Why? You've got nothing to hold you back. You've got no way to evaluate it, to judge it, to compare it against anything. Right? Paul's saying, look, I want you to know this mystery about God in Christ. Because if you don't, people can come along to you and say just about anything and you'll believe it. You with me? If you got it, say I got it. Verse 5, he said, though I'm absent in the flesh, Paul said, I'm not with you now. He said, I've never been with you. The only thing that has been with you from me has been my word to Epaphras. And what Epaphras heard from me teaching in Ephesus, in Rome, now he has taken back and shared with you. I'm not with you physically, but I am with you in the spirit. And he said, I'm with you in the spirit, and I'm rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Touch your neighbor and say, that's a good church. I don't know what Epaphras did. I don't know how Epaphras did it. But Epaphras was pastoring a good church. Paul gives witness. Paul says, I'm not there, but what I have heard of you, look what he says, causes me to rejoice. Every time Epaphras comes to visit me, he always brings good news about the church. This is what he's saying. This is in your Bible, right? Look what he said. Not only is it good, but here where his rejoicing come from. Because when he speaks, he always talks about your good order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Touch your neighbor and say, good order. I got it on the big board. 1 Corinthians 14. The Bible says, let everything be done how? Decent and in order. Every time your pastor comes to visit me, he always talks about your good order. He's good. He's good. And if you want to let him walk around, he's that's fine. He's fine. He is fine. He's all right with me. And I just wanted you to know, he's free to walk around. If he wants to walk around, move, whatever, he's welcome to do that. So he said, I'm always rejoicing because you're good order. Every house that names the name of Jesus should be in good order. Right? That things should be done in a manner and in a way that pleases God. Every house, every family that names the name of Jesus should be a house or a family that is in what? Good order. Are you with me in this? Woe be unto you if you are out of order. Because that's not the will of God concerning you. God wants you to be in good order. He wants things to be done properly. Are you with me on that? So you got the good order. And then he said, I'm also happy because of your steadfastness. Here it is. I got it on the big board. Steadfast. Firmly fixed in place and immovable. The way to remain steadfast in the faith and to be able to resist the devil is not with special formulas or special words directed at him or his demons, but by remaining firm in the Christian faith. This means the believer ought to continue to live according to the truth of the Word of God. You with me on that? That means the believer sets his foot on top of the Word of God and refuses to move. Paul said, I will let nothing separate me. I'm going to stand here. I am going to stand on what I have been taught about God in Christ. And I won't move. This is how you do it. You want to know how to beat the devil? I'm giving it to you. Paul's giving it to the church at Colossae. And stand on what remain steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding. More and more. Always abounding. You following what I'm saying? Paul says, every time I hear that about you, Paul said, I rejoice. Oh, I throw my hands up to God. Oh my God, thank God for the church at Colossae. Thank God for the Laodiceans. Thank God that they're sticking with what they have been taught. Why? Why? Because I told you, what was happening now is what? There were heresies out. Rumors were breaking out. And now there was talk that, yeah, Jesus was a prophet, but he was not God. Jesus was a good man, but that's all he was. And he was like, God, Paul was like, you got to stick with what I taught you. Don't watch it. Here it is. Let me tie my sermon. Don't go with what's trending now. Don't go with what everyone else is going with. What everyone else is talking about. You stay rooted in sound doctrine. Are you with me? Okay, good. Here we are, verse 6. Now, if this don't blow your mind, you need to find a new church. No, I'm joking. No, I'm not. Y'all don't know what I'm doing. Listen, see, I'm writing you this letter. I don't want anyone to deceive you. I'm writing this letter so you can make it. All right? That's what he said. I'm writing this letter. You guys got to stand. You got to. And he said, I want you to stand. And I also want you to know I'm so glad. Watch what he says about how you're standing now. That's what he's saying. Good order, steadfastness. Right? So now here it is. Now he's getting ready. Here it is. Paul said, here it is. Verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Did you get it? No, you didn't. I can guarantee you did not get it. Listen to what he said. I'm writing. I don't want anyone to deceive you with persuasive words. Every time Epaphras comes, I'm always encouraged by what he tells me about you. The church is always in good order, and all of you guys are remaining steadfast in what I have taught Epaphras and what Epaphras has in turn taught you. Right? So now here's the big encouragement. Here's the big reveal. You with me? So therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Simply keep doing. I wish I had a real church. That's the big reveal, Jordan. He said, you're already in good order. You're already doing, you're already steadfast. You're staying on what you've been taught. He said, all I need you to do now to be able to resist this heresy, to be able to stand until Jesus Christ comes in order to be the church without a spot or wrinkle that he's looking for, all you guys have to do is keep doing. No bomb. No Daniel fast. No, really, y'all got happy about that. No, see, church, we ain't got to do it. We ain't got to do it. No love chapter. All he said, all you have to do to be able to withstand this storm that is coming against your church, coming against your house, coming against. All you have to do is keep doing what you're doing. You're already doing it. While the enemy is attacking you, because he wants to distract you enough to cause you to now try something else. Oh my God, you know what? Church is cool, but after church, let's go here. You ain't got to go every Friday night. Let's take one. Look, the pastor gave you a Friday night off. Let's use that night and go here. Just try something different. Let's just go somewhere then. Let's just do something. And all I'm saying, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you got to resist that. Because what? We got to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Touch your neighbor and say, stay in place. Don't you know a soldier can be court-martialed if they leave their post and stop doing what they're doing? Stop doing what they're assigned to do? Paul said, just keep doing what you're doing. If you got it, say, I got it. Good, good. Let's keep moving. You got it, I got it. Here it is, verse 7, here it is. Here's your ministry vision, here it is. Rooted. Anytime you hear the word roots, what do you think of? Other than Alex Haley and Kuta Kinte, if you're old enough to have seen that series. I believe it's on Netflix now, if you have. But for the average joker, when we hear the word roots, what do we think of? Planning. Not just of planning, but specifically of planting trees. That's what I think of when I hear roots. Again, other than Alex Haley and Kuta Kinte. Think of tree, roots. So now, look at the image he's going to draw for you now. That if you keep doing what you're doing, now he's going to paint a picture of what you're going to look like. So if you keep doing like this, you're going to be rooted. Are you with me? Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to see how many church people I got. Blessed is the man. I wish I had a real church. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and at night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, deep roots going down in the ground, drawing water, drawing nutrients, steadfast, unmovable. Paul said, if you just keep doing what you're doing, you're going to start bringing forth fruit in your season, and your leaf shall not wither whatsoever. This is what trees do. Help me breathe. Touch somebody and say, I'm a tree. Some of you wanted to be president. Some of you wanted to be businessmen and women. Some of you wanted to own company. But I just want to be a tree. I just want to have deep roots. You ever see when there's a bad storm, you ride down certain roads, and they'll show you where trees have been pulled over by the wind, lightning. And I don't know you, I'm always amazed. Watch this. Not by what I see above the ground. I see that every day. See the trunk, branches, leaves, the blossom. But what I'm amazed is when a tree is pulled up and toppled over, I'm amazed by the root system. All of this stuff was happening under the ground. And I never knew it. Then I realized that God designed us to be like trees, because all the world sees what is above ground. They never know that under the ground, God was building my roots. That whenever I needed water, I had the roots to get it. Whenever I needed nourishment for my soul, I had the roots to get it. Let somebody tell them I'm a tree. Now, for all of the kids, when you go to church, when you go to school, and they ask you what you want to be when you grow up, you can go either way. You can either choose not to tell them and pick something more politically correct, Justin. Or if you're getting this message, just tell them, I'm a tree. My pastor told me that God has designed me to be a tree, a tree, a tree. I'm connected to the true pot. I'm finished with it. Here it is. Paul said, if you keep doing what you're doing, you'll be rooted down. God's going to start working under the ground in your life. No one will ever know what's going on. They'll never get to see it. How many of you are glad that the Holy Spirit works in private? I thought I'd get more out of the church than that. But He works under the ground. God is so gracious, He covers us so that no one can see what's going on. Because I don't know about you, I got some dirty stuff in my life. I don't know about you, I've done some stuff that I'm not proud of. But thanks be to God, He worked it out under the ground. He turned me around under the ground. Nobody knew. Nobody saw it. But God. Here it is. Here it is. I'm rooted down and I'm built up. Again, when I hear built up, anything that goes up, no. Anything built up must have a firm foundation. Y'all watching that building go up next door? Before they started anything. Two trucks, maybe a third one. I didn't see the third one, but at least two trucks of just cement laying a foundation. Another truck. Why? Because I'm building higher than just one story. Well, you need more cement. And so the higher you go, the stronger the foundation you require. Paul said God is get ready to build you guys up in such a way that you need a firm foundation. Here it is. Because if God blesses you and you are unable to handle it. Now, this is your sermon. This is the sermon y'all were preaching. You will fall down. One of these Sundays I work it. Hey, can you stand to be blessed? A lot of people want to be blessed. Want to be blessed. But they never know what it cost to stand up under that kind of blessing. Everybody who wants a home always wants what? A bigger home. More rooms, more bathrooms. We just want bigger homes. But did you know what comes with bigger homes? Bigger bills. Bigger outputs. The thing that was nice about the one-room apartment was I could afford it. But now because I want to be blessed and I want a bigger house, now I get in the bigger house and now I can't stand under the weight of what it costs. 6 months later, I'm where? I'm back in the apartment. Not because I wanted to, not because I wanted to fail, not because I didn't, I'm under it because I wasn't ready to handle the weight. I didn't have the kind of foundation necessary, but I wanted to be blessed. So the question is, can you stand to be blessed? Are you with me on this? I always tell folks, be careful what you pray about. Because God just might give it to you. And woe be unto you if you don't have a firm foundation. And all of that new weight and all of that new pressure is now on you. And you never took the time to build up your prayer life. I'll tell you one thing, you're not going to build it up now. Why? Too much pressure on you now. You have to already have established that. If you never fasted before and now you're not going to do it now. Why? You're up under the weight of it. You're worried about this. Now you not only got one job, now you got two jobs. What little time you did have, now you don't have that. Now you got three jobs. Why? Because you're all up under the weight. So you're blessed. But it's crushing you. And it's crushing you because you never got built up. You were never ready to handle that kind of weight. Here it is, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you're no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens, saints and members of the household of God. Here it is. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple unto God, in whom you are also built together for a dwelling place of the holy of the Spirit of God. If you don't do anything this year, commit yourself to getting built up. Right? Isn't that what we say? We bring in for one purpose, to build them up. Why are we here this Sunday? To be built up. Built up with what? With the Word. Through songs, hymns, to be built up. Why? Because I believe God is getting ready to bless you. And that's why he put a desire in you to come to the house of God so that what? He can continue to lay a firm foundation. Because now, God's getting ready to do something. Watch me preach it. Above ground. Up to now, He's been working under the ground. Just you and the Holy Spirit. But now, the big reveal is coming. Now, God is getting ready to show the world who you really are. Now, God's getting ready to show you the world that you're a real son and not a bastard. Now God's getting ready to show the world that you really are the offspring of Sarah. That you are of the promised seed of God. Now He's going to cause your enemies. But you got to be built up though. Are you following what I'm saying? So here it is. You're rooted. Now you're built up. Right? You got a sure foundation. Right? And now you got to be established in the faith. 1 Corinthians 15 and 8, therefore, my beloved brethren, stand ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Paul said, I love your church because they remain steadfast in the word of God. That's what you got to do. That's what I have to do. And that's why we have preaching. That's why we have teaching. That's why I'm getting the books in your hand. That's why I'm getting the ministry in your hand. That's why I'm trying to sow the seed of love in your heart. Why? Because I need you to be established in the faith. Why? Because God is getting ready to bless you. Are you with me on this? And here it is. You guys already know this, but I'll just say it. For the listening audience, rooted, built up, established in the faith, as you have been taught. Not only as you have been taught, but now it's time for you guys to become teachers yourselves. 10 years preaching. 10 years teaching. 10 years small classes. 10 years class 101, class 201, class 10 years. Now it's time to pass the baton. But it can only be passed to those that are rooted, built up. Those that are established in the faith. Because now, like Epaphras, now I'm going to send you out. Right? Right? Is this not our vision? Built up what? To be sent into the world. Who's going? Not me. You. What are you going to take with you? The Word of God. Where did you get the Word of God? I was taught it. And then I stood steadfast. What I learned in Sunday school. What I learned in Bible study. What I learned when my pastor preached. I'm going to stand on that. That's all I know. That's all I know. I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to resist the temptation to follow the trending topics. And I am going to stick with what I have been taught. Because what? Sending you. Sending you. You got to go. You got to go because that's the will of God for you. Do you follow what I'm saying? Thanks, Lord. Here it is. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. I'll skip over that because then we'll all start dancing and running around. Here it is. Now look, he warns them again. He warned them back in verse 4. Now in verse 8, he warns them again. Beware lest anyone cheat you. He's coming right back to it. This is why I'm writing. Folks are getting ready to run some stuff by you to get your attention off of the cross. Right? Beware, anyone teaches the lost wearing seat, Christian, don't, if it's not according to Christ, don't follow it. Here it is. Here it is, verse 9. This is what I wanted. 6 and 7 is our motto, but here it is. Get this. If you get this, then we can go ahead and have communion. For in him dwells, stuff is on my face. How do I look now? Better? Good. Because we are on YouTube. Say, yeah, your pastor sounded good, but he didn't. After that root system, he kind of got dirty up there. Here it is. Here it is. Get this and we're done. If you get this, you got the whole sermon. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. In him. Is this the him that is in the... What is this mystery about? We started the chapter out, what, talking about this mystery. Now let me show you something. You're in Colossians. Go to 1, what did we say, 26 and 27? So just back up a little. Chapter 1, 26, 27. Here it is. Now in chapter 1, he gives them one mystery. Listen to it. It's plain, nothing fancy. Here it is. The mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of what? This mystery among the Gentiles. Here's the mystery. Here it is. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the big reveal. Right? The Jewish people were brought up with a reverence for God. And they knew that God dwelt among all of them in the most holy place of the temple. They knew that. And so while they were in the wilderness, all the tribes of Israel were encircled around the temple or the tabernacle. So every tribe could see the presence of God. Because in that temple compound, there was the outer courts, there was the inner court, and then it was the most holy place. It's where God dwelt. The Bible says that his Shekinah glory hovered over there. They had a visual manifestation of the presence. Anybody, any tribe, anywhere, they could always look, and they could see God. Right? What now Paul is teaching them, that was just the beginning. That was not the end. When they said Emmanuel, God with us, it didn't stop at God being around us or in the center of us. The fullness of the mystery is that God dwells inside of you. But he just couldn't jump off the bridge and give them that. So at least, I'm going to start you here. I'm going to let you see that God is among you. Right? But in the coming of time, when Christ comes, Christ will then teach you that God actually wants to be not among you, but in you. Right? God in you. This hope of glory. This hope of glory. And if you're with me on Friday night, I worked this a little bit on Friday night. But this hope of glory or hope of glorification is a forward look or expectation to the glorification that believers will receive in their bodies when Christ comes. And so what Christ in us does, he gives us hope of glory, hope of glorification. What the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is in us is in essence a down payment on the full redemptive promise of God. That's what it is. And with a and why do we like a down payment? Because the assumption is if you make a down payment on it, you're eventually going to come in what? You're going to pay, you're going to make good on it. This transaction is going to go through. But if all I have is your word on it, we both going to starve, right? Because you just may not know. But if you put some money down, the guy don't want to lose his deposit, right? So God gives us the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit as a down payment on our future glory, right? That when Christ comes again, we will be made like him. But the confidence that we have that we will be made like him is that even now, we're starting to become like him now. Do you follow what I'm saying? First mystery. Now we're over here. Now the second mystery is this. He said, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So it's not now. So now God is among us. Now God is in us, in me. And he's in me in Jesus Christ. But now he said, I want you to understand, Jesus Christ is God. This is what the Jews then and now struggle with. Is that the Messiah is Jesus. And that Jesus is God. Jesus telling Nathanael, he said, show us the Father. He said, how long have I been with you? Do you not know that what? If you have seen me, you've already seen the Father. He tells the Pharisees what? He said, I and my Father are what? One. We're one and the same. I am him and he is me. We're one. He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. But I am also God. I am here among you in fleshly form. The Yahweh, you could never see him. The best you could get was some smoke going up. But here I am, God in the flesh among you. Tells his disciples, I'm going to go away so that I can get this body approved up in heaven as a new kind of spiritual body, unlike the angels, a new type of, and God the Father has to sign off on it, that is suitable for dwelling in his presence. And the sign that God has approved my body will be this: I'm going to send back, the Father's going to send back his Spirit, which is going to dwell in you, so you will have half or part of the promise, not the whole thing yet, but you got a down payment on it. And if you just keep doing what you're doing, if you just stick to what you have been taught, God is going to make good on what he's promised you. So, Jesus is God. And God now dwells inside of me. Then he adds in verse 10, this Jesus has all power. Touch your neighbor, said he's got all power. So here it is. This is it and we're done. Even as he lived above sin because he had the power, so can you and I live above the temptations of this life. Not because you or I are great or special in any way, but because the fullness of the Godhead dwells now inside of me. So I can do it. So for everybody who I talked to last month during the Daniel fast, common refrain, Pastor, I just can't do it. Right? This is a conversation changer. Okay? All right, everybody wake up. Right? Everybody wait. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. I know I'm going long, but it's your ministry vision, not mine. Right? Here's the challenge. You can live for Him. When you were telling me that I can't do it, I was sensitive because I knew what you were saying. What you were saying is that your flesh couldn't do it. That's what you were saying. And guess what? You're right. It can't. But your spirit can. Right? And so my assignment was today to say, well, Pastor, how can I? I just went 30 and I couldn't. I kept eating Oreos and Twinkies. And then it came out with the Girl Scout cooking. I was all downhill. How did we start the year? We started the year out by saying what? The just shall live by faith. And the faith is in the God that is where? Inside of you. And because of Him, you can do it. It is not, it's impossible to your flesh, but not to your recreated spirit. And Paul was trying to get the believers in Colossae and Laodicea to understand that you can do it. Even when the enemy comes against you. Isaiah said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit will raise a standard up against him. What is this standard? The standard is the Word of God. The standard is what you're standing on. The standard is what you're refusing to move off of. Are you guys getting this? Stick with what you've been taught. Stand on it. Trust God for it. And don't trust the God in heaven. Trust the God in you. I'm going to tell you this and I'm going to get out of here. I was telling my dad I didn't finish the story in the car. So I'm at work this week. My sister calls me. And I'm in the middle of a meeting. She calls. She's my sister. So I answer the phone and say, hey. Very first thing she said, you in a meeting? She said that because she heard all the people, man. And I said, yes. Typically, when I say that, she's like, okay, call me back. This time, she kept right on talking. As if I said, no, I'm not in a meeting. Matter of fact, I'm sitting here waiting for your call. She kept right on talking. She said, I've just led someone to Christ. And she said they want to get water baptized. But I left my minister's book at home. She said, do you have your minister's book? I said, on me, no. So I keep my minister's book. I keep one at home and I keep one my pastor's off. She's like, oh, man. I said, don't sweat it. This is what we're going to do. So let me call Ro. Ro's at the church. I'll tell Ro to go in my office. Get my minister's book. Then I'm going to have Ro call you. And Ro will tell you, you know, we'll look up what's under water baptism, what you're supposed to say, water sign and all that. So I hang up. I said, just hang tight. I called Ro. Ro got it. I called Ro. Ro's in the middle of teaching a computer class. She said, I answered because you. She said, Pastor, I can't. I'm in the middle of class. I said, Ro, stop the class. She said, oh, okay. So go down to my office, get my minister's book, and I need you to call Cindy. I mean, like right now. I mean, run down the steps. Jump if you have to. Listen, I want you to understand, for you that don't understand, my sister is a hospice nurse chaplain. She only deals with people who are at the end of their life. Yeah.
That's only what I'm saying. And I don't mean they're old. They're at the end of the... Death is imminent. This is a hospice nurse chapel. Thoreau, you got to drop Rose Johnson. She called me. I got it. So look, table cover for you, the weddings, funeral, man. There's something on water back there. She's looking. Pastor, I don't see it. I can't. She's getting frustrated. I don't see my. Cindy calling me on the other line. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, I'm like, all right, stop. I said, call Cindy. And I said, when you call her, just say this. Just tell her to say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I said, just tell her that. We can't find it in the book. She's frustrated. She's nervous. I'm nervous. Cindy's waiting. The woman's dying. I said, go. I said, call her right now. She's calling me on the line. You call her and just tell her that. So I hung up. I didn't hear nothing. I don't know what happened. I called Ro back a couple hours later, Ro not answer. I'm like, what? No, I don't know. I called Cindy. I can't get Cindy. Then she sends me a text of a Facebook post of how she not only led the woman to Christ, got her baptized, got the man baptized, but then the woman got saved. She got baptized. And I said, what did you tell? Well, how did it all work? She said, I said what you said to say. In the name of the Father. In the name of the Son. In the name of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's the fullness of the Godhead. All of it wrapped up in Jesus. No time for a textbook. No time for a prayer partner. Go with what you've been taught. Go ye therefore into all of the world, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And when the time is right, baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the... She didn't time them for a Bible. She didn't know it was going to be that type of visit. But she stuck with what she had been taught. And God got the glory. Are you guys hearing me? That's what you're going to have to do. That's why he's building you up now. That's why you're getting this type of word. Why? Because he's sending you out. He's about to enlarge the territory. You've got to understand that God's going to do it through you. Your mouth, your hands, your feet. That hope of glory that is inside of you is getting ready to come out for all the world to see.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Will you be ready? Are you guys with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we're available. My mind, our bodies, our soul. We're available. Holy Spirit, thank you for what we've been taught. Thank you for what I know about God. What I know about Christ Jesus. What I know about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that I was once a babe in Christ. But through a steady diet of the Word of God,
through steady fellowship among the people of God, for steady focus on the Word of God. Lord, make me ready. Cause me to be used in your service and for your glory. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.